Please pray with me. Dear Christ, though you are the Lord of all creation, you humbly assume the lowliest of duties for our sake. We give you thanks for the ways you meet us each day until we shall meet face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we pray, Jesus Christ doesn't meet us where we think we are. Jesus Christ meets us where we are, which more often than we will ever admit is quite possibly in a posture more akin to the Pharisee than the tax collector. And as we go through life, at times we act like the people in Irving Berlin's song, "Anything you can do, I can do better." When the song was sung in the movie, Annie Get Your Gun, Annie sings, "Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you." And Frank replies, "No, you can't." Then Annie replies, "Yes, I can." And their bantering, as many of you know, continues for 12 long stanzas. If our lives were a movie we could rewind, we would probably discover that we exhibit Frank's, Annie's, and the Pharisees' behavior, posturing, and attitude more than we think we do. Psychologists call such behavior illusory superiority, the better-than-average effect, or the Lake Bobegon effect. You'll have to look that one up on your own. And there are numerous studies proving that people do, in fact, exaggerate their positive characteristics and abilities more than their negatives. In 2014, an anonymous survey of 85 inmates at a prison in Southeast England was conducted about their pro-social traits. These inmates, whose gender was not identified, were aged 18 to 34, and most were imprisoned for acts of violence and robbery. When the results were compiled, the participating prisoners rated themselves as kinder to others, more moral, more self-controlled, more law-abiding, more compassionate, more generous, more dependable, more trustworthy, and more honest than the average prisoner. What was really interesting is the prisoners also rated themselves as higher on all these traits than the average non-incarcerated person, with one exception. The prisoners rated themselves as being equally law-abiding as the average non-incarcerated person. Now, if you're thinking, "Father Jim, that's all well and good, but I'm not one of them," bingo, you've got the point. That's the point Jesus is making in the parable. We act like the Pharisee, and we see ourselves morally, spiritually, or in some other way superior to the others. Sociologist Brené Brown in "I Thought It Was Just Me, But It Isn't," making the journey from "What Will People Think" to "I Am Enough," wrote, "We are those people. The truth is, we are the others. Most of us are one paycheck, one divorce, one drug-addicted kid, one mental health diagnosis, one serious illness, one sexual assault, one drinking binge, one night of unprotected sex, or one affair away from being those people. The ones we don't trust, the ones we pity, the ones we don't let our children play with, the ones bad things happen to, the ones we don't want living next door." It's hard for us to realize or to accept that we do act like the Pharisee when we see people that aren't like us, when we talk about people going through difficult times, and when we pray. Why is it difficult for us to do that? It's difficult because we desire to feel righteous, and we don't want to admit to anyone, ourselves, or even to God, that we are vulnerable, that we are broken, and that we are sinful. Now, I will have to give the Pharisee credit. He did have something to brag about when he said, "I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all my income." From his statement, it appears that he fasted more than he was required to. He also tithed a tenth of all his income, which was more than was required by the law in Deuteronomy 14:22. Set apart a tithe from all the yield of your seed that is brought in yearly from the field. The tax collector, on the other hand, appears to have sinned greatly, which is why he and all other tax collectors were put in the same category as thieves, rogues, and adulterers. They were hated and despised because in Jesus' time, tax collectors were usually Jews working for Rome. They were known to be extortioners of large sums of money. And they had the power and the authority to walk up to a man and tax him for what he was carrying and even more. Today, tax collectors, we put them in the same honorable category as politicians. The dishonest way the tax collector earned a living caused him to turn to God for forgiveness, to beat on his chest and to cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." A one-sentence petition to God, expressing what the psalmist did in the first three verses of Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Once we realize that we're not as righteous as we think we are, that we are the others, and that we are just one life event away from being one of those people, only then will we become justified like the tax collector, which means that we have been made right with God. Jesus, who humbly assumed the lowliest of duties for our sake, such as washing his disciples' feet, and who became obedient to the point of death, is our example of how to be humble. If Lent was the last time you humbled yourself before God in prayer, perhaps now is a good time for us to reflect upon our actions, our attitudes, and our prayers, and then be truly humble, confess our sins, and pray, "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Let us pray. Jesus, we know that none of us are 100% humble, for we are clothed in these mortal, fallible bodies. But we do know that you are completely humble, and we look to you as our example. As we clothe ourselves in your righteousness, we can overcome the pride that is ever before us. We recognize that no good thing can come from us, but all that is good comes from you. Remind us daily that gratitude is the antidote for feelings of pride, when we acknowledge that everything we have and all that we are is due to your merciful blessings. We are humble and grateful to you, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.